Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Friday, August 21st, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This briefing is AI created and independently fact-checked. It is current as of 7 a.m. Eastern. We begin with the U.S. military presence in the Middle East. The Pentagon says more than 750 American service members have been wounded since the Iran war began. The figure is cumulative, and it does not capture every consequence of deployment for military families. But it is a clear measure of the conflict's direct cost to American personnel. The figure is a reminder that even when the daily focus shifts to diplomacy, shipping lanes, or oil prices, the conflict continues to carry a direct human cost for U.S. personnel and their families. The Navy has now moved the carrier USS George Washington into the region. It is relieving the USS Abraham Lincoln after its unusually long deployment, which has drawn reports of supply shortages and mental health strain among sailors. A carrier relief is intended to sustain operations while allowing an exhausted crew and ship time to recover. In this case, the unusually extended Lincoln deployment has made that transition a point of congressional attention. The Lincoln has been at sea for a record-length, uninterrupted stretch. Democratic lawmakers are seeking answers from the Pentagon about conditions aboard the ship. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has said the concerns were misrepresented. The redeployment also has a broader strategic consequence. Moving the George Washington from Asia leaves that region without an American carrier strike group at a time of heightened concern about North Korea and China. Carrier strike groups provide a visible form of military presence and can be repositioned quickly during a crisis. Their absence from one region therefore receives attention even when the reason is a pressing need elsewhere. The administration faces the difficult task of sustaining forces in the Middle East without reducing deterrence elsewhere. At home, the week's primaries are sharpening the map for November's midterm elections. In Florida, Republican Congressman Byron Donalds won his party's nomination for governor and will face Democrat David Jolly in the general election to succeed term-limited Governor Ron DeSantis. The primary result settles the Republican side of a race that will now move from intra-party competition to a statewide general election contest. Donalds would become Florida's first black governor if elected. The Democratic Senate primary produced a notable upset. State lawmaker Angie Nixon defeated retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman despite being outraised by more than 16-1. Fundraising often provides campaigns with a major advantage in advertising and organizing, so the margin between their fundraising totals makes Nixon's win especially notable. The result continues a run of victories by progressive candidates over better-funded establishment rivals in several states. There were consequential outcomes beyond Florida as well. In Alaska, Republican Senator Dan Sullivan and former Democratic Congresswoman Mary Peltola advanced in the state's top four primary for the Senate race. Advancing in Alaska's top four system does not settle the contest, but it determines which candidates remain in contention for the general election. In Wyoming, Eric Barlow won the Republican nomination for governor, and Congresswoman Harriet Hageman won the Republican Senate nomination for the seat being vacated by Cynthia Lummis. The contests do not decide November, but they help define where both parties will invest in the closing months of the campaign. In Missouri, a state judge has allowed newly drawn U.S. House districts backed by President Trump to be used in November. The ruling rejected an effort to put the Republican-friendly map before voters in a statewide referendum. That means election preparations can continue under the new lines while opponents pursue their remaining legal options. The new districts were already used in the August primaries. Supporters of the map argue it was lawfully enacted. Opponents say it improperly limits voters' ability to challenge congressional redistricting. The decision is likely to be appealed. Redistricting cases can turn on procedural questions as well as the shape of the districts themselves, with Republicans holding only a narrow House majority. Even a small number of altered districts can matter nationally. A major First Amendment dispute is now headed to federal court. Disney, ABC, and eight ABC-owned TV stations have sued the Federal Communications Commission over an order requiring an early review of their broadcast licenses. ABC says the FCC's action is retaliatory and threatens the network's protected speech. The licenses ordinarily were not due for renewal until between 2028 and 2031. License renewal is a regulatory process involving the local stations, which is why the suit includes ABC-owned broadcasters as well as Disney and the network. The FCC, led by Chairman Brendan Carr, ordered the early review in April and cited the company's diversity and inclusion practices. The network's lawsuit also points to the timing of the review, which followed conflict between President Trump and late-night host Jimmy Kimmel. The FCC says broadcasters have a legal obligation to operate in the public interest and maintains that it is enforcing that standard. Both sides frame the dispute around limits on government power, but they describe those limits very differently. The case will test the extent of the agency's authority over local broadcast licenses and the constitutional protections claimed by a major news and entertainment company. In California, Meta's federal trial over alleged harm to children is underway. Four states are seeking billions of dollars in damages and substantial changes to the way the company operates Instagram and Facebook. The states allege that Meta knowingly designed features that addict young users, concealed harms, and collected data from children under 13 without parental consent. The claims combine questions about platform design, internal knowledge, and protections for younger users. Those are allegations, not findings. Meta disputes the claims and says it has invested heavily in safety tools and transparency. The stakes reach beyond one company. The case puts the design of large social media platforms under a close legal microscope at a time when parents, schools, lawmakers, and technology companies remain divided over what safeguards are effective and who should be responsible for enforcing them. President Trump has chosen Dr. Heidi Overton, a deputy director of the White House Domestic Policy Council, to lead the Food and Drug Administration. She will need Senate confirmation. Overton has worked on several administration health initiatives. The FDA has broad responsibilities over food, medicines, and vaccines, making the commissioner's role central to several active policy debates. If confirmed, she would inherit an agency with major unfinished work on ultra-processed foods, antidepressants, and COVID-19 vaccines after former Commissioner Dr. Marty Makary resigned in May. Her confirmation hearings are also likely to explore how she would balance the president's agenda, traditional Republican priorities, and Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s approach to regulation and food policy. And federal food safety officials are still investigating the multi-state cyclospora outbreak linked to recalled iceberg lettuce from Taylor Farms de Mexico. The FDA says the outbreak includes people who reported exposure to processed iceberg lettuce served or sold at multiple locations, including people who had eaten at Taco Bell. The company recalled iceberg lettuce sourced from central Mexico on July 17. Federal investigators say their epidemiological and traceback work continues to point to that supply chain, even though a laboratory sample initially reported as positive was later determined to be a false positive. Traceback work examines where affected food was supplied and distributed, rather than relying on one test result alone. Michigan reported two deaths involving people with significant underlying health conditions that may have been worsened by cyclosporiasis and dehydration. Their illnesses began before the recall. The FDA says the investigation remains open and that additional brands, restaurants, retailers, or distribution channels could be identified. Consumers should check the FDA recall notice rather than assume every lettuce product is affected. Overseas, North Korea fired about 10 short-range ballistic missiles toward the sea on Thursday. South Korea's military says the launches came from the North's capital region and prompted an emergency meeting of South Korea's National Security Council. The missile barrage followed a U.S. decision to cut short the annual Ulchi Freedom Shield exercises with South Korea. The drills are now scheduled to end today, 6 days earlier than planned. The decision to shorten the exercises was meant as a diplomatic signal, but the missile launches show that it did not remove the immediate military tension. President Trump said he ordered a substantial reduction in part because of what he describes as a good relationship with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Pyongyang has rejected the gesture as insufficient. Kim Yo-jong, the North Korean leader's sister, said reducing the duration and scale of exercises would not change what she called their aggressive nature. U.S. Pacific Command says the launches posed no immediate threat to American territory, personnel, or allies. Still, the episode underscores the tension between an effort to reopen diplomacy and the military readiness requirements of the U.S.-South Korea alliance. Ukraine is also facing another devastating Russian aerial assault. Ukrainian officials say a nighttime barrage of missiles and drones killed at least 16 people in Kyiv and the surrounding region on Thursday. The attack lasted for hours and damaged residential areas. Russian missile strikes on Kyiv have intensified this summer. Air defenses can intercept some incoming weapons, but ballistic missiles can pose a particularly difficult challenge. Ukraine says its limited supply of U.S.-made Patriot interceptors has made it harder to defend against ballistic missiles. The United Nations reported last week that Kyiv was among the cities hardest hit in July, with at least 54 civilians killed and more than 200 injured. Ukraine has continued long-range drone attacks on Russian oil facilities, contributing to fuel shortages in parts of Russia. But the immediate picture in Kyiv is of another civilian toll from a war that has entered a prolonged and punishing phase, with no durable ceasefire in sight. Now to the economy and markets. Thursday was the most recent completed U.S. trading session. These are final closes, not futures or intraday readings. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 703.84 points, or 1.3%, to close at 52,759.21. The S&P 500 lost 66.82 points, or 0.9%, closing at 7,641.416. The Nasdaq Composite dropped 263.92 points, or 1%, to 26,067.17. Stocks fell as pressure returned to the bond market. The 10-year Treasury yield rose to 4.70% from 4.65% late Wednesday. A Treasury yield is the return investors demand to hold government debt, and movements in it help shape rates across the wider economy. Higher yields can raise borrowing costs for households, companies, and the government, while also making bonds comparatively more attractive than stocks. Oil added to the concern. Brent crude rose 2.4% Thursday to $93.78 a barrel amid uncertainty over when tankers will be able to move freely out of the Persian Gulf. Higher crude prices can affect transportation and business costs, which is why oil supply uncertainty can also influence inflation expectations. Walmart was among the companies under pressure after investors focused on concerns about its future profit outlook. The backdrop is the federal debt, which passed $40 trillion on Wednesday. That is a record. The figure does not by itself describe the annual deficit or the size of the economy, but it focuses attention on the government's growing interest costs and the long-running gap between federal spending and revenue. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announced Wednesday that the department would at least double planned purchases of longer-term treasuries between September 9th and November 4th. The move briefly eased yields, but markets remain focused on inflation, debt issuance, oil prices, and the durability of economic growth. The announcement is one factor in a market where investors are weighing several forces at once. For consumers, the practical question is whether elevated Treasury yields continue to feed into mortgages, business loans, credit, and government financing costs. In sports, NFL preseason Week 2 opened with two games Thursday night. The Las Vegas Raiders beat the Houston Texans 22-20. Later, the San Francisco 49ers defeated the Los Angeles Chargers 41-17. It is preseason, so the standings have limited meaning and coaches are evaluating far more than the final score. Playing time can be especially valuable for players competing for roles or trying to make a roster. The games offer a live test of depth charts, young players, special teams, and the health of key units before rosters are cut down. The Raiders are now 1-1 in the preseason, as are the 49ers and Chargers. Houston is 0-2. The rest of the weekend brings a fuller slate, including Jets-Steelers, Packers-Broncos, Bills-Browns, Chiefs-Buccaneers, and Cowboys-Cardinals. Teams must soon turn camp evaluations into decisions on their regular season rosters. Golf's FedEx Cup playoffs have moved to St. Louis for the BMW Championship at Bellerive Country Club. The tournament began Thursday and runs through Sunday. 50 players are in the field, competing for a $20 million purse and 750 FedEx Cup points. The central pressure point is qualification. The tournament is the final opportunity to improve standing before the Tour Championship field is set. Only the top 30 players in the standings after this tournament advance to next week's Tour Championship at East Lake. Scottie Scheffler entered the week leading the FedEx Cup standings, but the BMW is still consequential for every player near the cutoff and for positioning in the season finale. A quick results roundup from Thursday. The Raiders edged the Texans 22-20, and the 49ers beat the Chargers 41-17 in NFL preseason action. In baseball, the Yankees completed a three-game sweep of the Orioles with a 6-1 win. The Dodgers beat the Rockies 6-4 in 10 innings. And the Brewers defeated the Mariners 7-4. Finally, in entertainment, Insidious, Out of the Further opens in U.S. theaters today. The Sony and Blumhouse release brings the horror franchise back to the realm known as The Further with a new central family. Amelia Eve plays Gemma, a mother who discovers she can enter that supernatural realm and potentially bring its dangers into the real world. Lynn Shay returns as Elise Rainier, and Jacob Chase directs. The release gives the established series a new story while retaining a familiar character for longtime viewers. The new film arrives as theaters move toward the fall horror season, with franchise recognition likely to be a major part of its appeal. That is the Friday briefing. U.S. military strain from the Iran war. Midterm contests taking shape. Major court fights over media and social platforms. Renewed global security concerns. A volatile bond market. and a busy sports weekend ahead. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this briefing with one person who would value a calm morning news summary. I'm Mark Ellison. This is Artificially Intelligent News.